You're listening to On Trend with Jothiel. Tune in every Monday to hear me talk about the latest in pop culture and fashion.
This is Jothiel. Happy Monday. You are listening to On Trend here at Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California at radio.dominican.edu. I am happy to be here today. I have a wonderful view of the sunshine outside, and we are having wonderful weather. It's a perfect time to talk about the springtime and the upcoming summertime, which is so exciting. There's going to be so much good fashion, and we are here to talk about all of that today on Trend, where I talk about everything fashion related, whether it be pop culture, trends, news, or movies and TV shows. Everything here is going to be covered today. Lots of things have happened this week. I like to start off every show with a summarization of the wonderful news that's been going on. I can't say that all of the news has been wonderful, but it's great to know about if you may have missed some of the highlights of fashion this week. And we are just going to jump right into it today. The first piece of news is that the public school founders, Maxwell Osborne and Dioye Chow, are the latest designers to depart from the fashion calendar. They're going to be showing both women's and men's wear together in December and June and deliver collections to retailers a month ahead of schedule. DKNY will still be, however, part of Fashion Week, even though they are also showing women's and men's fashion. This is a new trend that's going on right now, and it is the showing of both men's and women's fashion at the same time. That's a pretty cool concept, because before they used to be super divided, and it's wonderful to see, because there are going to be trends that are going to be gender neutral, and it would be great to see both men and women in them, as well as androgynous fashion, which is the combination of both men, masculine and feminine fashion into one form. And it's going to be really exciting. It's going to be one of those things where people aren't quite used to seeing it at the same time. It's been years and years of seeing the collections be completely separate, but now they're going to be shown together. And I think that's a pretty cool thing. Hopefully more designers start doing this. I think it's wonderful also to include men in fashion as well. A lot of the time men are excluded. And there is kind of a stereotype that men just generally never care about fashion, and that's not true. There are plenty of men that also care about dressing well and care about fashion and care about seeing the latest designers, because those designers are really setting the trends for what is going to be happening in the future in terms of the fashion industry. The next piece of news for today is Rihanna's new makeup line. Rihanna and Kendall Brands, which is owned by LVMH, are partnering on a makeup collection. They are going to be selling with the luxury goods conglomerate, and they're going to be paid about $10 million to make this collection together. Obviously, Rihanna is a major influence in terms of fashion and makeup, and it really makes sense that she would have her own makeup line by now, because people are consistently copying her looks all the time, really. And it's wonderful to see that she's going to be putting something of her own out there into the world. It's definitely not something that we've seen before, as far as I know, but she is someone with a massive influence already. So looking at to see what she's done is going to be great. I know that Madonna and Lady Gaga and Katy Perry and I think Gwen Stefani all have had their own makeup lines, and all of them have done extremely well. Even just putting their names on it would be great, but beyond that, the fact that Rihanna is actually going to be designing something is going to be exciting, and you can just tell that that is going to sell out as soon as it hits the stores. The next line is Beyoncé's first set of Ivy Park's activewear has finally arrived in Topshop. I talked about this in my last week's show, where I was talking about how excited I am to see that Beyoncé is creating an athleisure kind of activewear line that could be wearable for every day, and it's going to be for girls of all different sizes in terms of literally the sizes, but also girls doing different hobbies. So girls like to do yoga, like to play tennis. Lots of varieties there, and it's going to be great to see what she does. But anyways, this week we've noticed that after arriving in Topshop, it actually wasn't as well received as we had previously thought it would be. Obviously, putting Beyoncé's name on anything means it's going to sell well, but because this collection is different from the other Topshop collections, like the partnerships they've had with Kendall and Kylie Jenner, which were only there for a month, because people know that Beyoncé's line is there for a longer period of time, they aren't exactly going out and rushing to buy anything. They're also almost waiting for other people to test out the clothes and let them know what the best pieces are, what the most wearable pieces are, what the quality is like, and how long they will last, which makes sense. I definitely could see that being used as a really successful marketing technique, though, where if you just say that something is limited edition, people will jump on it because it's limited edition. It's so special. You're going to be one of the very few people to own that piece. Just like when Rodart partnered up with H&M, which people lined up in the streets for hours and hours, some of them even overnight, to pick up those pieces because they sort of felt like this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, because they didn't know if Rodart was going to partner with H&M again or if there was never going to be a collection like that. So they were the very few people who managed to grab the pieces while they were still there. And with Beyoncé's line, although it's wonderful, I think because it's not limited edition and she is going to be continuing to produce more clothes, they're going to be several seasons, people aren't exactly going out and rushing. They're more just waiting to see if the line will actually be successful or not, because there's a lot of chance that it might not be. But obviously it is Beyoncé, so maybe she has a higher chance than the average designer just starting off. And the next piece of fashion news for today, which is the final piece of my fashion highlights for the week, is according to Racked magazine, Goop clothing is coming this September from Gwyneth Paltrow. Obviously, Gwyneth Paltrow is a major name in the industry. Everyone has heard of her website, Goop, where she talks about her favorite recipes, her healthy living. She talks about consciously uncoupling with her ex-husband, Chris Martin of Coldplay. She really puts a lot out there, whether it be personal. And a lot of the things, she does have a skincare line, and a lot of the things are not necessarily the most affordable for the average customer. So it'll be interesting to see what the price range is of her Goop clothing line, and if she just designed it herself or if she's partnering with designers. Although I do know that her skincare line is very well received, because it's not filled with chemicals or anything unnecessary, really. But I do wonder if Goop is a little bit more of a, it's a luxury brand in itself, but it's also a little bit unrelatable, because I definitely have seen a smoothie that Gwyneth Paltrow has advertised on Goop that I think retails about $700 for one smoothie, which doesn't really seem relatable to many of the readers, or really most people who really don't need that for just one smoothie. So I have to say that Gwyneth Paltrow, as great as she is, and as some of the things she says are really interesting and obviously eye-catching, I think that she does have a bad rep, and she always gets made fun of because a lot of the things are just out of reach for most people, and hopefully this Goop clothing line can change that. But I'm not necessarily sure that it will, just knowing what I've seen before, even with her skincare line. But anyways, that has been the fashion news for today. I love putting this together every week. It's great to look back and see what happened. I like keeping up with big names and seeing what's going on just in general with everybody. But for now, we are going to take a short break. We have lots of fun things to talk about in a bit. And hopefully you will return for my second segment, where we are going to be talking about the Kate Middleton effect on fashion. So I'll see you in a little bit, and please enjoy the music. I gave up on time, just like you said you would. There are tiny cracks of light underneath me, and you say them. Hi, everyone. You're listening to On Trend with Jafiel here at Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. Welcome back to my second segment of the day, where we are going to be talking about one of my favorite people, Kate Middleton, or Duchess of Cambridge, as most people know her. She is one of the biggest style icons in the world right now. She has been around for quite some time, obviously, since she was engaged to Prince William. The world has been obsessed with looking at what she is wearing every day to every occasion. She is always setting trends, and it's wonderful to see because actually since 2012, I believe, when she had her wedding, it's been about 4 years, and the power of her fashion sense really has not died down. This week, she and the Duke of Cambridge went to India, and obviously as the connections were built and there was lots of wonderful just diplomatic duties going on, people were genuinely just looking at what Kate Middleton was wearing. She had a 20-outfit wardrobe, which is quite extensive, although she did not have any speeches scheduled. Her wardrobe served the purpose of providing kind of a fashion diplomacy, which is an interesting concept in general. This was never going to be an opportunity for her modernizing her clothing or to be creating any massive fashion statements. It was just more to provide, you know, a very conservative, not offensive, diplomatic duty in terms of her clothing. She was covered up. She had a high neck. She was largely kind of muted in terms of color, but still, despite the fact that she was kind of covered up more so than usual, people were really enjoying seeing her, even in this kind of foreign policy sort of realm. People still loved to see what she was wearing and were extremely impressed, and everything that she wore pretty much sold out right after she wore it, which is not surprising considering she is Kate Middleton after all. Her influence, they say, is worth about $1 billion, which is pretty crazy in terms of how many clothing just Kate Middleton has almost sold for designers just by simply wearing them. The global fashion industry immediately jumps on everything that she wears. In this time in India, she wore a printed dress by Anita Dongre to play cricket at the Oval Maidan and in Mumbai. And the Indian designer's website immediately crashed after she wore the dress because people were really jumping on the opportunity to get the same dress that Kate Middleton was wearing. And obviously she brought this designer a massive amount of just site traffic that actually crashed their website. Usually the designer that she wore wears about 200 pieces per collection, but this time it's going to increase its sizing of in terms of its production because Kate Middleton has completely gained a following for this designer that is way beyond what they were expecting. The factory is now just producing the dress that she made or that she wore. Everyone is focusing on that, and it's basically all that they're producing for now because the dress has just become a phenomenon because Kate Middleton has worn it. When you look at other designers that she's worn, she wears Amelia Wickstead, Alice Temperley, and Jenny Beckham. She wears about maybe if it's like a 50 euro dress by the Manchester Blair brand Glamorous, it sells out within an hour online. And the Topshop dress that she wore is basically no longer available because it's sold out within minutes of her wearing it. With her power of fashion, obviously, she has a lot of rules. She's not necessarily someone like Sienna Miller or Kate Moss. She's not about setting trends. She more needs to appeal to the conservative mass market, and she needs to stick to things that suit her and things that don't look like they're trying too hard, according to Natalie Hartley, who is the fashion editor of Glamour, who kind of has been in touch with Kate's stylist, who looks at all of the pieces that she has to wear. Obviously, she needs to be dressing well, and she needs to be dressing correctly. Her success as a cover star is a lot less about style and more about the investment in her as a person. They say that it's more that as an audience, people like to feel involved and engaged, and they like to kind of look at her just in every situation that they're wearing. People like to relate to her and they want to look like her because obviously the things that she's wearing are not just cutting edge, they're actually classic, so they're pieces that you can actually keep in your wardrobe. I think that as a style icon, she's wonderful because the pieces she has can definitely be investment pieces. They are great for someone who works at kind of a company and needs to look business casual all the time. She definitely does a great job, and you can take a lot of style cues from her and just look wonderful. Over the course of her trip to India, she wore a lot of awareness of traditional Bhutanese dress, and she wore something that a lot of Indian commenters were divided about. People said that it was a little bit boring and wishy-washy, but also people were saying that, you know, maybe she should have worn a sari, while others argue that maybe not, because honestly, it might not have the cultural significance to her that the sari has to other people, and it might be a little bit more of cultural appropriation rather than anything else. So they avoided wearing the sari. But other than that, basically, Kate's style is widely admired by Indian women, and many people say that this trip to India was a major success for her and her fashion sense. Obviously, she's going to continue setting trends as she goes. She's someone who can wear anything and it'll just completely sell out within 2 hours maybe. And she really does give designers who are newer, who she tends to recognize, she tends to give them a lot of major success just by being herself, which is pretty cool. And to end my segment off, I found a little bit of an interesting detail about Calvin Klein. Calvin Klein recently said that he is disappointed with the direction of his company because he is no longer at the forefront leading their marketing decisions. There was a campaign launched in 2016 where it's called My Calvins, and they are showing people like Justin Bieber and Kendall Jenner wearing Calvin Klein underwear. But Calvin Klein says, "When I say I like Justin Bieber in the Calvin Klein underwear, it's because I like him, not because he's got millions of followers. Now, models are paid for how many followers they have. They're booked not because they represent the essence of the designer, which is what I try to do. They're booked because of many followers they have online. I don't think that long term it's going to work. I don't think that's a great formula for success for the products you're trying to sell. However, if you really take exquisite photographs of the right people in the right clothes in the right location and you put it online, that's fine. Just putting my old clothes on Kim Kardashian long term isn't going to do a thing. It's a difficult time, but things change. One thing about the fashion business is that it changes all the time. If we're here for 2 years from now, we may be talking about three names that replace Adonna, Ralph, and Calvin. That may be true, but Calvin Klein's lasting effect in the industry will not be forgotten." Obviously, this has actually been a response to something he said about Kendall Jenner, which is, you know, I'm really not that familiar with it. I'm honestly not. I'm sure she's a lovely young woman. If it's just not the kind of thing I would have done even today. Justin Bieber, yes. This is something that is interesting to talk about just briefly, because Calvin Klein basically has chosen to support Justin Bieber because he knows him as a person rather than Kendall Jenner, and has definitely, it's been a controversial statement for someone who actually has Kendall Jenner as one of the models representing his line. It's interesting to think about the way that people do get into the modeling industry these days. Obviously, Justin Bieber didn't get into it instantly. He has his music career. And Kendall Jenner is more someone who got into it because she is obviously a reality TV star. She comes from reality TV royalty with the Kardashians, and it's easier for her with her millions of people following and the amount of revenue she makes just from Instagram alone to go into the modeling industry. And maybe he's right. Maybe that just putting clothes on people that have a massive influence and, you know, have that influence just right now, that might not be quite as long lasting in terms of keeping clothes in a successful frame of mind. But for now, I hope you've enjoyed talking about Kate Middleton and my favorite, one of my favorite designers, Calvin Klein. For now, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back very soon with my third segment of the day, where we're going to talk about Coachella fashion.
You left me in the worst way, heart torn, leaving blood stains all over the table cloth, and I can never scrub them off. But I won't let you haunt me. All the scars on my body, they won't keep me far from love. You will see me fall apart. Cause I turned so cold, and I thought I'd never make it. I could feel my bosses fighting.
Gotta look for a brand new start. Got me dreaming of a rainbow star.
are back with On Trend. I'm Jafiel here, and we are here to talk about our third segment of the day, where we cover some of the latest fashion trends. A major event happened this past weekend, Coachella, as everybody knows it. People were wearing all of their best festival gear out, and I'm going to go over some of the things that I saw people wearing at Coachella, although I was not there personally. I definitely saw plenty of pictures of designers, musicians, actors, models, anyone you can name, any kind of a big name being photographed, as well as just general style of people that went to Coachella. One of the first things that I saw was a girl who wore antlers to Coachella, which is an interesting way to go about it. I definitely think that Coachella is a place where you can push the envelope in terms of fashion. It's not so much about fashion as it is a lot of the time about wearing a costume or kind of playing a character. Obviously, that character is someone who is a little bit more of kind of like a hippie, maybe from the 60s, like the free love kind of movement. But wearing antlers, I'm not so sure. I even don't know where you could even get antlers, really. But she found a way, and that's pretty interesting in and of itself. So that's the first highlight of Coachella. A girl wore antlers. The next one is there was quite a few denim cutoffs at Coachella. It seemed like everybody was wearing denim cutoffs with gladiator sandals. And it was photographed so often just by everyone, whether it be celebrities or just event goers. Everyone seemed to be enjoying wearing denim cutoffs because it was obviously a really, really hot day outside, and people were spending so much time outside, probably getting a little bit dehydrated, that it was good for people to get a little bit of fresh air by wearing some shorts. Vanessa Hudgens, who has been deemed as kind of like the queen of Coachella fashion, wore a colorful patterned dress and wore layers and layers of jewelry and bracelets to pair with her festival look. She basically did, she had a Coachella manicure that took about 3 hours total, which just shows how much effort. It seems like she puts in effort every single year to look the best she can and to push the envelope, but in a very stylish way. I definitely think that out of all of the people I've seen go to Coachella in the past few years, she's definitely someone who has done it in the best way possible, and she seems to really embrace it and love it, and you can just tell that Coachella is kind of something that she looks forward to every single year, and it's really her thing and her place where her sense of fashion, which is kind of bohemian already, just perfectly fits in. And she and her boyfriend Austin Butler obviously looked adorable together, as they had a little bit of a matching color scheme going on at Coachella, but it looks like everybody had a really fun time. Victoria's Secret model Alessandra Ambrosio wore a stylish figure with brown suede boots and printed YSL jacket. She was joined on day two of the Outdoor Festival by the very young people of Hollywood, the newest stars, so Ashley Greene, Emma Roberts, and Bella Hadid, who is Gigi Hadid's sister. Brooklyn Beckham was also there, and he wore lots of Gucci. He wore a patterned shirt and some jeans. Suki Waterhouse wore cut-off denim shorts, like I said before, with gladiator sandals and a bit of a cape over it. And Cindy Crawford's daughter was spotted wearing Alexander Wang. So even though this is definitely more bohemian fashion, major designer names are represented. I'm sure it must be a really flattering thing for designers to be seen at such a major event because everyone is being photographed. These are definitely going global because you can tell that everyone wants to be at this event, and it's majorly exciting for everybody. I'm not sure that festival fashion is my personal cup of tea, really. I think that sometimes it can be cute. I think it's nice when people kind of dress in the sort of retro sort of way, but I think a lot of the time it's way overdone, and I think a lot of cultural appropriation does happen when people start kind of putting henna all over themselves and just wearing things that are native to India or to maybe Native Americans. Things like that, like headdresses, things like that that are probably not appropriate to be wearing anymore because it's such an issue and it's just not politically correct to do that anymore, but it still seems to be popping up everywhere. And I just think that that might be an issue, but there are other people, like I said. I definitely enjoyed Brooklyn Beckham's sense of style. I think Alessandra Ambrosio looked great, and so did Vanessa Hudgens. I definitely think that people do tend to overdo it, and I think that if people would just relax a little bit and not stress out so much about looking perfect, then I think it would be much easier for everyone to sort of feel better in their sense of style. It's definitely much different, obviously, when you see festivals and you think about the term festival. People always think of just massive fields and wearing kind of welly boots, and you think of the English sort of countryside music festivals, whereas this is a very different. It's just full of celebrities and supermodels, and everybody's flying to California just for this. People are wearing just massive sunglasses and sequins, and they look like they've almost stumbled off of a runway. But there's also that kind of juxtaposition between people who have just kind of painted themselves and put on their headdress, and it's completely inappropriate. But definitely you can tell that everyone had a wonderful time. It looks like a great event. And obviously with so much celebrity attendance, it's obviously something that is significant to talk about in terms of fashion, and hopefully it'll be inspiring for people. I definitely think that the people that are always looking the best are the ones that are looking a little bit more put together and maybe even a little bit unique in terms of the comparison. But obviously it's extremely hot. Everybody's outside for hours. Some people even choose to sleep there. It's an all-day event if you want it to be. But I think that for other people, it's just a bit overdone. Anyways, that has been my sort of summarization of Coachella this week. It's obviously something that happens every year. So every year we have lots of fun things to talk about in terms of the trends that we see. And a lot of them are very influential because the designers that make them are extremely important. And they are going to be making more and more of these pieces that we begin seeing early on. But for now, we are going to take another short break. I hope that you enjoy the music selection, and hopefully you will be back for my fourth and final segment of the day, where we are going to talk about When Harry Met Sally, which is one of my favorite movies, and lots of fun fashion moments to talk about there. But for now, I will be back in a short while. We'll be right back.
darling, you with me, always around me. Only love, only love. Darling, I feel you under my body. Only love, only love. Give me shelter, or show me heart. Come on, love, come on, love. Watch me fall apart, watch me fall apart.
With On Trend. I'm Jafiel here at Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. We've been talking about lots of fun things today in terms of fashion news and trends, such as things we've seen in Coachella. But my favorite segment is here. I love this segment in particular because this is my movie segment, where every week I choose one movie to talk about in terms of its fashion, to look at what is the most successful approach to movie, I guess almost movie costumery. That's probably not a word. Somehow my mind has completely blanked on that, but it is a Monday. I have to say it's a bit rough to be back at school, but When Harry Met Sally is the movie that I chose to talk about today. Recently, last Monday, actually, I woke up at 6 a.m. on my own, which never happens, and I really didn't know what to do with all of that time that I had suddenly gained. It was a couple of hours before I had to go to my first class of the day, and I thought, what could I possibly be doing with my time? And then it hit me that I would really like to watch a movie and just relax in the early morning when no one else is awake and watch a movie. And I chose When Harry Met Sally, which I've already seen pretty recently, but watching it by yourself in the early morning is definitely an interesting experience just because you haven't quite woken up and so your mind is focusing on the oddest things all of a sudden. The movie is actually 27 years old now, which is kind of crazy because that is older than I am. But it's one of my favorite movies, personally. I think that it's beautifully written. I think it has wonderful music. I think that the acting is great. I think everything about that movie in terms of Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan is just perfect. I think they're so likable and so much fun to watch on screen together. Obviously, this is a movie that always makes it on one of those top 10 romantic comedy lists. Because everybody really likes it. It's one of those movies that's relatable, it's funny, it's not cheesy really. I mean, obviously certain parts of it are predictable, but it's a movie that even at the time was kind of pushing the envelope just a little bit in terms of controversy. Obviously now controversy is very relative in terms of what it actually is, because it's just so subjective now, because people have consistently just pushed the envelope so far that people are not really shocked by anything. There's no shock factor anymore in terms of movies. The whole point of the movie is Billy Crystal's character says that men and women really can't be friends, and unfortunately that proves to be true in some ways in the movie. I don't want to ruin that for anyone, but it talks about that. It's all revolving around their friendship and all of the times they run in together or run into each other over the course of about 12 years, and it's a wonderful, wonderful movie. Highly recommend if you haven't seen it yet. I think it's funny and interesting, and it's definitely one of those movies that you could watch a million times and not get tired of. But something that I've noticed is that I think because it's the 80s, it's overlooked in terms of fashion, because people just say, oh, the 80s was kind of a mistake. Everything was a little bit odd and weird here, but I don't think so. I think a couple of these things, while they were mistakes, can definitely be brought back. Some of these things are definitely back, and we're going to go over it and see which trends are a yes and which trends are just a definite no in terms of now in 2016, when this movie is 27 years old. The first sort of piece of clothing that I chose to talk about was Sally's high-waisted Bermuda shorts, which she wears in the first scene where we meet her. Her hair is huge, it's been feathered and a little bit permed, and Billy Crystal is just wearing a sweatshirt and jeans, which is pretty typical of him. But the pants that she wears are voluminous, some might say, and they're khaki, they're just above the knee. But somehow Sally Albright, she pairs it with a prim button-down and a cardigan combo. And she's obviously, like I said, she's got the Farrah Fawcett sort of waves. Her personality definitely makes this outfit look just realistic. But now that I think about it, I really don't think that Bermuda shorts are something that we need to bring back ever. They really weren't that flattering. I don't understand why you would want your shorts to kind of flare out in all these different directions when they're above your knee anyways. So this would be a no from me. No Bermuda shorts from When Harry Met Sally. That is not my favorite look at all. Something else that I really like is Sally's red turtleneck, which is great. I actually really like her red turtleneck. She wears it quite a bit, and she loves a good turtleneck throughout the movie. It's definitely something that it's cute, and she wears it at the same time as Billy Crystal wears his fisherman sweater, which looks massive and would make sense if it's cold in New York. Sally pairs her red turtleneck with a black pencil skirt, and actually it looks like a very kind of cute look. I would say that for me is an absolute yes, and Harry's fisherman sweater is huge and it looks so super cozy, and it also gets a yes from me because I really don't know what's better than just a gigantic big comfy sweater to be in when you are in the cold depths of winter time in New York City. It's wonderful to be warm. Sally does enjoy the red turtleneck, so she has another one that we find. This is when she actually runs into Harry for the first time in about 5 or 10 years. Not 5 or 10, I think 5 to 6 years. And she's wearing her red turtleneck with a maroon blazer, a crossbody bag, and some mom jeans. And I think that this is actually a great look. I know that mom jeans do have a bad rep, but they are making more flattering ones now, and they're actually back in fashion, as are turtlenecks, and as is corduroy and crossbody bags. So you could pretty much pull together this outfit out of things you probably have in your wardrobe right now in 2016. I would say that this is a definite yes from me in terms of outfits. And then at this time, Harry wears a chambray kind of shirt, maybe might even be denim, with another pair of jeans. So it's kind of denim on denim. So we've got a little bit of a Canadian tuxedo kind of going on. And he's wearing a blazer over that. It's definitely an interesting look that I'm not 100% sure about, but it works, and definitely pieces of clothing throughout the movie I almost wish that they had kept, because I think that they would be wonderful to wear now. Something else that Sally wears is something that she wears to Central Park. She wears a tweed blazer and a floral blouse and a big kind of hat, and there's something very Annie Hall about her like, because it's very menswear inspired. And it's a lot bigger than her natural body frame, but I think it's wonderful. And then in another look, she actually wears a high-waisted pencil skirt, and where she sings Surrey with a fringe on top with Harry in a Sharper Image store, which I'm not even sure if Sharper Image still exists. If it does, then that's it. But pretty much she is someone who likes a lot of high-waisted things in general. And I think high-waisted things really have never gone out of style. If they have, it was maybe in the early 2000s, and they are definitely back with a full force. And I think that they are very flattering and comfortable, especially for women. They're just wonderful for kind of making your silhouette look a little bit longer and your legs look a little bit longer. The next trend is Sally's bridesmaid dress. This is a definite no for me. She wears big puffed sleeves, and she has a perm, and the dress is made out of forest green velvet, which is an interesting approach to this whole thing. It's an interesting approach just completely in general, and I definitely, this is the 80s, so it makes sense that the sleeves are extremely puffed and the fabric is kind of shiny. It definitely looks a little bit like a really bad prom dress, which is never really a look that you want to be going for. But anyways, that's a little bit about Sally's bridesmaid dress. It's definitely interesting, and it's going to be something that we maybe don't talk about. So this is a no from me. Then we have Harry's Argyle vest and Sally's sort of business wear that she wears all the time. She wears a plaid vest, a maroon bow tie, and a Peter Pan collar. He wears a bow tie, and she wears a Peter Pan collar. But actually, I have to say that when Harry looks kind of okay in a vest, I think that is not the worst look. But probably for her, the Peter Pan collar was not the best choice, because it does make her look a lot younger. And the last fashion piece that I want to talk about for today is Sally's New Year's Eve dress, which is off the shoulder. She also has elbow sleeve gloves, which aren't my favorite personally. I'm not a huge fan of any kind of elbow length gloves at all, but I think off the shoulder anything is still completely in style, and it will be forever pretty much. So if you are looking for something to wear this summertime, I think something off the shoulder is a good choice. It's something that is very casual. It can be casual, it can be dressed up. And just in general, the whole concept of the off-the-shoulder is a great one. But that is about 10 trends that I saw in When Harry Met Sally, which, like I said, is one of my favorite movies. I highly recommend it if you haven't seen it yet. I think it's great. I think some of the wonderful lines in it are great. I love listening to the couples that have been together for a while. They do kind of disperse those stories throughout the movie, and that's my favorite part probably of the entire thing. But if you haven't checked it out, please do. I hope that you maybe are interested to see what sorts of fashion have not gone out of style since the 80s, because clearly a lot of fashion trends have stayed behind, like the high-waisted things, the off-the-shoulder things, tweed jackets and cable knit sweaters and turtlenecks, all of that stuff is still around. And if you want to look at a little bit of fashion inspiration and a little bit of a surprising setting, this is a good way to do it. But I hope you've enjoyed my show. You've been listening to On Trend, where we talk about everything fashion related, from pop culture to news to trends to movies. It's been a great time having you here with me. But for now, I am going to say goodbye. We have a long week ahead of us. It's only Monday, but I hope to see you next Monday for my final show, where, of course, we'll be talking about everything related to fashion, lots of things to talk about every single week. I will be leaving you off here. I hope that you have a wonderful sunny week and enjoy your time outside as much as possible. Even though things might be getting stressful if you're a student with final season or just in general living life, it's a stressful time. But I'm wishing you all the best. But for now, I will see you next Monday with On Trend.
Until next time, this is Jafiel signing off. Don't miss my show every Monday from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. at radio.dominican.edu.